The Rancor's Brothel presents a Dungeons & Dragons adventure. Nev Thelian.
Well, welcome back to Nev Thelian, where the party is in Valakur, having recently returned a letter to the Iron Master of Iron Rose University.
You call me out.
No. Who else remembers what happened?
I'm in charge. I don't call that. No, I went back and listened. Yeah, the Iron Master said I was in charge.
That is a false statement.
It really wasn't.
I don't know about that. It's more like a committee. It's more of a team building thing.
Sort of like a party.
Yeah, more of a party. More of a party scenario. We're less dictator, more communism around here, okay?
A semi-autonomous commune.
There's a ranking system, you know? Hell. Anyway.
So yeah. We went shopping.
Is that where you want to start?
I don't know. Is that where we want to start?
Sure. So you are tasked with going up to Nev Thelian to explore it, to catalog its various whatever you find, and learn what the hell's going on there. To do so, you have to go about 2,000 miles, 3,000 by sea, and that's a bit of a trip. So yes, you are getting your stuff together in Valakur first.
Night,
buddy.
Sweep jammies.
Thank you.
Batman is cool.
Has legs.
I love Batman jammies.
So yeah,
gear, Valakur.
A really long damn way by boat, and even it's shorter but more treacherous journey by land. That's kind of what we're looking at.
Essentially, yes.
And we are the Iron Master, who I wrote this down somewhere. Savash, I believe.
Yes, that's his last name, yes.
Yeah. Rogan Savash.
Has also tried to get us passage on a ship then, yes?
Yeah, we've got free passage.
We're arranging it, I'm assuming, right? It's not pre-booked or anything. It's not like you're taking this ship.
It's basically a letter saying that the university will pay for the passage of these four individuals.
Ooh, find a ship available.
First, you'll have to find one that's headed up that way, which will probably not be the finest ship available.
I mean, the finest ship available.
It is available.
Well, okay. Fair point.
It is a very relative thing.
Finest is relative. Oh boy. Okay. So
what's that?
Sure. I'm surprised you don't have a map of Valakur itself. I guess you can zoom in on this, can't you?
I do, but it's not on there.
Okay. I didn't know if it'd be important for doing the city walking around or not.
I have it if it'll be relevant.
Gotcha. Because the city sits in the middle of like a delta almost, right? It's little islands or inlets and stuff. Okay.
That's correct.
I'm making sure I didn't dream that.
There's your reference.
That. Okay.
Am I just not seeing the arrow on there?
It's blending in really, really well. It was there a second ago. Yeah.
Wow. So it would be fair to say there's actually quite a bit of ships that come in and out of here since it's a
absolutely
city.
Yes. It is quite frequent.
There we go.
There's like two dozen large docks on the bottom of the delta, and there's plenty of smaller ones, you know, within the delta.
So,
although mostly those are used for barges.
So supply up, do some research, book passage. Is there anything else that we need to do as a party?
I would like to craft some magical shields.
Yeah, I knew you were going to do that. So crafting magical shields. I'm assuming you want to do the book learning?
Do some book learning and copy some spells into a spell book.
I'm copying spells as well. But I'm curious, how good am I at book learning? What's the library use in this game?
Investigation?
Yeah, it's generally investigation.
Okay, I could do some book learning too. Yeah. I got a good roll for that. I didn't know if he was going to use investigation or not.
If you both want to spend time to do that together, then whoever makes the roll can have advantage.
Okay.
What do you got in it?
What have I got?
Yeah.
8.
Yeah, I've only got a 4.
So. Okay. So we'll do some book learning. Then do you want to try and book passage, Troy?
Sure.
Okay. Do you have any sort of persuasion or any other social roles that you might be able to...
I do. My persuasion is a +7.
Nice. As you say, excellent. You seem to be me to be... I attempt to be social, but I'm pretty sure my bonus is a +1. So yeah, I think we do that. Was there any expectation from Savash on when we should be leaving?
The implication was soon, although he did not say a specific date.
I mean, since it is a remote location, we may have to book passage. We may have to wait for a vessel that's headed in that direction, blah, 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 whatever.
Yeah, that's possible.
Okay. So what do we want to do first?
Or do we split up?
Well, I think we split up for sure, but make shields.
Roll for your shields, man.
Yeah, let's do the shields. That should be, because that will take you like a couple hours. So,
right, because
artificers are good at this.
Specifically, the battlesmith subclass.
We've already decided that you're just going to stay here and open up a shield emporium and send us the the.
It's like, oh, by the way, here's Seth, my backup character. He's going with you.
Yeah, I thought I'd just exit the podcast now. Come back
here
in a couple
months.
This is clunky.
I made him to go with you.
Yeah, so...
He just produces a warforged.
Replicate myself.
Yeah. Like, well, I have my own blueprint.
That's fair. It'd be impressive.
I took off my arm the other day so I could study it.
Get some data and lore shit going on up in here.
Combine my dog with myself, make a homunculus sort of iron creature construct.
So what have you got to roll in terms of making it?
So I've got expertise in my smithing tools plus the, what did we say, intelligence. So that was a +9 bonus to roll on a, what did you say
yeah,
the +9 check was?
It'll be a DC 15.
Okay. So 22 on the first roll, 14 on the second roll.
And so unfortunately, yeah, that means you're going to...
Yeah.
Right at the end, you sort of scorch that boulette plate a little too much.
Just barely.
And the magic sort of seeps out of it.
And there's 100 gold down the hole. 110.
Yeah. Off to a good start.
That's with the +9 on there, right?
That was Troy's.
Yeah.
No, man, this is totally +1.
It's fine. It's fine.
I mean, could I be there with him and maybe give him some guidance?
Do you have a reason to distrust his results?
I mean, he's building me a shield, so yeah, I would probably, you know, be there to accept shield and give him some, you know, guidance.
Maybe after the first time I go, you know what, I really,
absolutely.
I could use some help with the billows on this.
Sure.
When you're not busy arranging for passage, I could use some
help. Provide me a mathematical 1 to 4 extra points.
So roll a d4.
Minus +9 to it. It's a 1.
So it gives him the extra 1.
Wait, what?
He's trying to go back in time and get a +1 to that 14 to make it a 15 because it was close.
No, I mean, I'm okay with doing it on
the first ship has sailed.
Yeah.
But it does make sense that after that you would want some help.
All right, so attempt number 2.
Here's a d4.
A 20 and a 26.
Okay, well then there you... Totally guided, for sure.
And, hey, thanks for helping me out. Would you like one, too?
Sure.
+1 shields are cool. Oh, that's a fail.
You get the D4. That was a 14, right?
That was a 14, right. Oh, yeah.
So right, D4 would D4. Be a success. But,
I mean, to be fair, though, you still spent less than you would on one shield normally.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Sure. That guidance was a +4, so that makes that first check a success and a 25 on the second.
Okay.
So you end up burning the first one, but making the next two.
Yeah. So for 330 gold, I made 2 +1 shields.
Practice makes perfect, you know.
Yeah, you know, when I'm engraving new items at work, I always have to fuck one up to make one right. And so the first one is always a test one.
Recycle bin.
Mm-hmm. I've got a whole shelf of stuff that's the one-offs from the first run.
So do we want to go ahead and do some investigation then? Yeah. What are we doing? Just Nevthelion?
We're going to the library and we're researching everything we can find out about Nevthelion.
I'll give you 150 to help compensate for, you know, the burnt first one.
Nice.
I appreciate that.
20 on investigation.
20. All right. What section of the library do you want to look in first?
Oh, I don't know. I suppose history, right? Start with history. That seems like a good starting point.
All right.
I would like to point out for the audience that Dave has just produced a folder of what appears to contain, what would you say, Jeff, 50 pieces of paper, give or take?
I'm betting those are almost like pamphlets.
A lot of this is just monster stat blocks.
Okay.
Just you know.
Okay, this is his campaign notes, not just the library notes. Say,
this is everything. Yeah.
No, I figured that's folio 1 of 17. If you go to this very obscure inlet where there's a small hamlet library, you'll find this one.
All right, so the first thing you find is a letter to Queen Onodiel that is published in 1208, but was written like 900 years before that. So this is from a compilation of like collected letters.
Okay, I'm following you. So this is...
I was getting ready to try and scribble shit down while you were talking. This is a compilation of letters?
Yes.
From different times?
So, sort of like the memoirs past leaders?
It's the actual volume is called The Correspondence of Reloran III, published in 1208, compiled by Halfro Wolchester.
You want me to read it, Jeff?
I don't know. Do you want to read all this out loud?
Maybe. If it's important.
I don't know. You're impatient. I didn't get to read it and see if it was important.
I'll just skim it. To her royal and most esteemed majesty, Queen... What'd you say it was?
Onodiel.
From Reloran, so the guy that the book is written about. By the grace of God's ring of blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. 5th of Frostfire, 382. In residence at Grey Matter Palace. So do we know what Grey Matter Palace is?
Grey Water Palace.
Oh, Grey Water.
Yes, you would have heard the name. It's the royal palace in Duavrod.
In Duavrod.
Which is over there.
Okay.
It's on the strait to the east of Valakur that has a big canal running through it.
Gotcha.
And it's the city that you would most likely pass through if you took a ship up north.
Is this so, and do we know where this queen is from? I'm just trying to set context for everybody.
The Queen of Larendor is further to the north. It borders Ristergem, which is what Duavrod is the capital of.
So these are two dignitaries, both north of Valakur, northeast, by about, I don't know, 1,000, 1,500 miles.
Mm-hmm. But still south of Nevthelion.
But still fairly far south of Nevthelion, correct. And this was written approximately 1,000 years ago, because we're in 1463, and this was from 382.
Yes.
Warm greetings. It is our sincere wish that this letter finds you and your royal family both healthy and prosperous in the new year, and that the gods continue to bless your reign and nation. We also wish to express our enduring support of your campaigns against the Goliath clans infringing on your lands in the Drizonva, and pray for your speedy and decisive victory. Our own family is in good health and sends their regards. Queen Harana, in particular, wishes to extend her thanks to your majesty for the kind gift of wine and assures you it was partaken of with great enjoyment. We write to you now to state our desire that Larendor reconsider its stance on taxation of crafted goods from Nevthelion. There we go. As you are aware, jewelry, fine armaments and armor, and enchanted goods are among the Elven City's primary exports and sources of income. While we sympathize with Larendor's need for a robust treasury in time of war, it is our considered opinion that placing unwarranted taxation upon imports from Nevthelion is not an ideal method of recouping the cost of such expenditures. As a city-state, Nephthelion's economy stands to suffer greatly by this current arrangement and has little recourse to retreat toward. As such, your generous majesty holds the well-being of thousands of your fellow elves in your hands, and on their behalf and that of Ristergem, I suggest this measure be repealed. There are acknowledged costs in maintaining an army, we freely admit, and as such we are prepared to suggest an alternative method of procuring funds whilst avoiding egregious debt. Your Majesty may find it beneficial to shift the imposition of taxation towards trade with...
Syria.
Syria. While still a city-state to a certain degree, Syria finds itself much more suited to expansion and growth with lesser threat of monstrous retaliation than Nephthelion. Further, at less than a day's ride from Drazonva, they have a vested interest in supporting Larendor's campaign there. Should the Goliath's attention wander from the forest, they may find the city a tempting target. Promise of protection might go a long way to secure the cooperation of their trading caravans. We are quite certain that in light of your majesty's well-known generosity, your love for your fellow elves, and your keen diplomatic mind, that you will immediately recognize the merit and of our proposal and the benefits allowing Nephthelion's trade to flourish unhindered. It is our continuing desire that both your majesty and Larendor prosper and find all success in the coming months. Please accept our accompanying gifts. We trust they will find good use in your current endeavors. We pray that the blessings of Ethlona Rao and all good gods be with you. Editor's note is somewhere recorded that the gift was a matching set of a dozen enchanted swords intended for use in their campaign. So what was the other place that I was reading about?
Syria?
Yeah. Where's Syria at?
That is...
Oh, I can see it. It's... Yeah.
So to explain... Yeah, probably there'd be a little bit more of a lilt on it, like Syria, because Elvish.
Gotcha. So political implications, I guess. Duivard is significantly... Let me put it this way. Larendor, the queen that was being written to, is in between Duivard and Nephthelion. But Duivard is, in this letter, requesting Larendor not tax Nephthelion so heavily, if I'm summarizing it correctly.
That's what it sounds like.
So the next question is why is Duivard interested in Nephthelion whatsoever, other than just geopolitical climate? I'm guessing that's not common knowledge.
That is not common knowledge, no.
Because it doesn't make sense. I mean, you make friends with your neighbors. This is kind of like the neighbors of your neighbors.
And by the way, the Orokonvo that was mentioned is the forest there in Larendor.
Okay. And where are the Goliaths that they were fighting? Is that...
These are their clan lands right there.
Okay.
Right next to it.
Okay.
So Larendor is fighting the Goliaths to the west, and they're taxing Nephthelion, and someone 1,000 miles to the south is upset about that. But we don't know the connection between Duivard and Nephthelion. Am I missing anything?
Well, and they're talking about the Goliaths right there on their border being less of a threat than whatever is around Nephthelion. Am I reading that right? Syria finds itself much more suited to expansion and growth with lesser threats of monstrous retaliation than Nephthelion.
Well, I think he's saying if
this,
you were
this is an appropriate place for a history check.
Can both of us roll that?
Sure.
I got a 14.
I got a 16.
Wait, no, that's invest.
Wrong modifier.
That's a 17.
Okay. Then, yeah, you are both just off the top of the heads. I mean, yes, of course, the north is a little bit more wild, like the further north you go. But also, way up north, there in the mountains, in what's essentially the Arctic, is a place called the Menasa Nortova, which is essentially Elvish for Citadel of Horrors.
That's where the White Walkers are from.
The top of your head knowledge is that it's basically a city of monsters that of all sorts of monstrous races that have been reviled by civilization, and that's like one place in all of the wilds where they actually have sort of grouped together.
It's where Monsters University is set.
I want to go to there. Just because I want to force Dave to make some maps if he hasn't already. No, but the other thing, if I'm reading it correctly, can you scroll the map back down to Larendor? I'll ask you guys. It almost made it seem like Larendor should... Maybe this is Civ 5 coming out in me. But it almost seemed like they were suggesting Larendor should absorb Syria as part of expansion?
Well, no, it sounded like that is a city-state of... Is Syria separate from...
Is it Luxembourg?
What was the other one?
I'd say it seemed very Luxembourg-y.
One second, let me look at the text.
Be quiet.
It says, while still a city-state to a certain degree. So that's a little bit of an ambiguous...
Okay.
If you wanted to spend the time to look into its status, that would probably be found in a different book.
Gotcha. But is it... In present day, do we know whether or not...
In present day, it's part of Larendor.
Okay. Because it almost sounded to me... Didn't he not use the word expansion?
Yes.
So to me, it almost...
Sounds like a small place that's ready to explode.
Well, and also just looking at it, the way that the road clearly from Syria leaves right into the heart of Larendor. So maybe They were saying occupy Syria, which has never been done before on this planet or any other. occupy Syria is almost like a choke point or something, like expand that way, because it said something about the Goliaths right down the road or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Well, this is saying
they're
that
very
Syria,
close to the clan lands there.
This is saying that Syria is an elven city state, right?
Yes.
So it's already something that is growing there, but it's not fully a.
I guess I just don't understand the context of expansion then, and that.
It sounds like it's just a small city state, and it's waiting to grow into a full.
But in terms of
a full, what's the word? I'm not.
So.
Within the borderlands.
Yeah.
Where else do you want to look in the library?
Suggestion?
Historica Arcanum?
Okay.
You want me to roll again?
Yeah.
Nat 20, so 28.
Nice. You find a volume about the Kasranian heresy, Race and Inherent Evil.
That's what we were talking about last time.
Was it? It sounds familiar.
That title came up, yes.
It was about the inherent, whether races are inherently evil.
Okay.
And so that's the relevant excerpt.
Dave said we couldn't use the cards.
Cards? What?
The crit cards.
Oh.
Few documents have contributed more to the
Kasranian heresy.
Kasranian heresy?
Kasranian
heresy. Than the Inheritance Symposium held in Nevthelion in 203. The conclusions reached at this convocation were recorded in a document of the same name, in which scholars and clerics set forth the erroneous beliefs in inherent evil. Most blatant and presumptuous among its errors is a definitive in quotes list of known species that possess intelligent thought, each paired with a verdict regarding whether a species is inherently evil. Verdicts are placed in simple inherent. Did I read that right? Yeah, that is verdicts. Are placed in simple inherent, non-inherent, or unknown categories, but the unknown category is used with a scandalous rarity that easily confirms its arrogant assumption of moral authority. The list is extremely long, as one might imagine, but very few details or explanations are given for the verdicts reached in most cases. For example, the mysterious Gith, with whom there are only a handful of reliably recorded interactions in history, are divided into the Githyanki and the Githzerai. Githyanki are listed as inherent, while Githzerai are listed as non-inherent.
Huh.
I wish I would have went that way.
Why? On what evidence? It is true that the Githyanki have a warlike reputation and conduct raids on various realms, and that the Githzerai have the reputation of a monastic people focused on order. But are not these reputations merely that, reputations? Legend tells of both races as part of the Gith. Do they not then share the same ancestral blood? On what moral basis can we condemn the one race but exonerate the other? The symposium does not deign to tell us. If they had evidence, it was not recorded. Indeed, Aristotle the Yellow, an acknowledged master of planar lore, writes of the Gith, the Githyanki and the Githzerai were so profoundly scarred by their enslavement to the Mind Flayers that they forgot they were one race united. A single race, yet divided by the symposium based on cultural reputation and actions. If anything, the division of thought between Githyanki and Githzerai should prove to us that both races are not inherent as are non-inherent as either Gith at one time made a choice regarding what path to follow. What makes the entire premise of the Inheritance Symposium worse is that it was all conducted in the name of Elona? Is that right?
Which I think was a god.
She is the goddess of woodlands.
To the casual observer, this seems like an obvious choice. Clerics of a deity will, of course, act in the name of their god. What could be more natural? This is not an incorrect observation, and the act itself is not surprising. But it is, once again, expressive of the arrogance of the symposium's members, because it associates their flawed and heretical conclusions with the will of a god. Never mind the fact that its whole existence was spurred on by Anvenin Kasrim, and the distribution of several of his lectures among Nephthelian's clergy, and certainly not any spark of divine inspiration. Kasrim was not himself present at the Inheritance Symposium, but he did mention it in a letter to his paramour, Tetia Severini, in 205. He described its efforts thusly: "I do feel that the devout clergy who compiled the Inheritance Symposium have done a great service for the good gods of this world. Not only have they assisted in the dissemination of right thinking, they have also made my own work significantly easier." From the collected letters of Anvenin Kasrim. Both Kasrim's own teachings and the Inheritance Symposium were exacerbated by the publication of Huyten Borus's The Bestial Nature of Evil in 209, a volume which did much to denigrate any species labeled by the symposium as inherently evil. Borus and Kasrim corresponded a great deal, both before and after the volume's publication, and the two even... And that's where it cuts off.
So Nazis. I mean, Dave could have saved a lot of time if he had just drawn a swastika. We could have gotten.
Well, yeah. I mean, was he the head clergy of Nephthelian, or was he just a clergy member? I think
he's an instigator, is what it sounds like to me.
Well, roll a history check. Because stuff about him is a lot more.
That's another nat 20, so I'm going to assume I have a decent number, like 25, 28, something that's like that.
Better than mine.
And you can actually just go down a few rows and pick out those collected letters and plenty of other books about this whole thing, because it's been a religious controversy for a long time.
For sure.
Anvenin Kasrim was not from Nephthelian. He just corresponded with some people that were there. And the symposium, as far as you can tell, just happened to take place there. And almost certainly some people from Nephthelian were there and participated. You don't know that necessarily represents, whoever.
Sure.
So Kasrim was the
instigator of all of that. Yeah.
Kasrim
and hence
is
why this has all been labeled the Kasrimian heresy.
Yes.
I mean, Kasrim is the, oh, what the fuck's that guy's name? that asshole. Poopadopoulos or whatever his name is. Craig, help me out here. You know what I'm talking about.
I have no idea.
The guy who just goes around and pisses off people by saying things. I know there are a lot of those. He's broke now.
Yeah, I know you're talking about.
The guy who gets
Yiannopoulos,
like,
or whatever.
Yeah, Yiannopoulos or whatever his name
is. With the long Greek name?
Yeah.
Milo is his first name.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's who I'm casting as Kasrini. Either that or the Spencer guy. Who deserves to be punched in the face more on live TV. Anyway.
Okay, so the fact that this is called heresy, has this been debunked, or is this standard still used?
It is still a topic of debate. General public opinion has swayed in the other direction, but there are still plenty of people around that would argue for this.
Right.
It depends on which god or group of gods you talk, or whose clergy you talk to.
Okay.
And also which part of the country, because people who live further up north were probably a little more inclined to believe this sort of thing because they had more monsters to deal with.
That's interesting, though. I mean, is there a certain ideology that is still purporting this? Like, do we still have Nalthus' version of, like, the clan running around that's like, this is what we think and this is how we're going to do, and... They're treating it like, are there those who are still treating this, it as
this
as
is
law?
Mostly an academic debate.
Gotcha.
Because when it comes down to practical things of soldiers going around or, farmers defending their farms, that sort of stuff, they don't really care. You're attacking me.
No one's organized a religion or a standing militia or a small city-state group that is operating with this as their standard social practice. If you're on the list, you get in. If not, you get shot.
Certainly not to a large enough extent that you've heard about it.
I gotcha.
Are there friendly relations with orcs and goblins?
Do you mean between orcs and goblins, or do you mean in general?
I mean Are there
half orcs and orcs like walking down the road today?
Sure. Half orcs are pretty common, and you know, generally speaking, down over here to the southeast of Valakur, a couple hundred miles. There's the Kulshak tribal lands, and those are basically all orc tribes. They haven't been to war any time recently within the past few hundred years. They mostly keep to themselves.
But I mean,
and people do trade with them.
Okay, that was my question.
Mishluk there, that the road runs through, the road that you had taken and would have ended up in Mishluk if had you kept following that road.
Right.
That is a probably at least half orcish city, and then.
But we're not having modern day modern day militiaists like standing on the border shooting any orc that wanders by.
No.
Okay. So we're in like 2014, 2015. We're not there. Okay, I got you. Tensions are boiling.
Goblins are probably a little more suspect. There aren't any like civilized lands of goblins that you're aware of, at least in the south.
You have to move it to keep it awake.
Oh.
Not you, Dave. We have to keep it awake because he's moving the mouse on his screen. Okay.
Click once and it'll come back.
Yep.
Okay.
I was reading that letter over again. And I think some context is from some of the questions you maybe were asking. It seemed like it was saying there was something that, I don't remember the name of the city. The lower city has some interest in Nephthalion. I think they were trying to divert the attention. But they were saying that Syria seemed to be more ripe for expansion than Nephthalion, since there was less chance of monsters and other things like that getting to Syria. They just had the Goliaths really to contend with.
Yeah, I would be interested to see why, as Novrat or whatever it is, I'd be interested to see why they have such interest in Nephthalion when theoretically it's a farther trading partner, it's a whatever.
Well, they weren't worried about getting their trade. They were worried about the taxes that they were going to levy against Nephthalion.
Right, but why do they care?
Because Nephthalion was the one putting out jewelry and magical arms and armor, as opposed to the small city.
Sure, but if they already have a good working relation, and in fact, it makes it better. I mean, if you look at the world market, like if two places go to war against each other in terms of like economically speaking, if you're the third wheel, you can leverage better deals out of both of them. You know what I mean? Like, so it doesn't make any... Why are they standing up for them? There must be some sort of connection that we're not seeing that's beyond just, hey, taxes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Do they share social interests? Do they share family ties, nobility? I mean, even are they both elven cities? Like, maybe
they
there's...
Are.
They yeah, are they, both elven
these,
cities.
These are all
Syria and Nephthalion are both elven cities. But Duivrad is more of a mix. It's a lot of dwarves and gnomes, but it's also a mix of plenty of other races.
Gotcha.
Well, do you know what was it founded as?
Duivrad?
Yeah, or who was it founded by?
Gnomes.
Gnomes, okay.
Cuz I say I think I wrote that I'm from one of these. I don't remember where I said I was from. It might be Duivrad.
Oh, I think you were farther up north.
I don't remember.
In Masarad? Because you were interested in Goladelf and the half city.
Yes, that was kind of cool too. Okay, so I'm not from Duravrad then. Because that's really... Duravrad is more interesting to me almost than Nephthalion. I mean, Nephthalion obviously is what we're after, but their political interests are kind of cool.
So from this, what it seems like the clue that we're supposed to pick up is that Nephthalion was a big producer of magical arms and armor and...
Oh, also jewelry? Apparently, and also apparently culture. I mean, like the fact that they decided to hold this intellectual debate here.
True.
I mean, not to
religion.
Right. Not to throw it back into Dave's wheelhouse, but this Nephthalion is almost sounding a little bit like Athens or something. You know what I mean? Like it clearly was a place of culture. It clearly was a place of ideas, good and bad, apparently. I'd be interested to see what kind of magic stuff that they actually had. Who else they traded with?
Mm-hmm.
Hazards? I don't know if there's a way to look at that. Do they have a dummy's guide to getting to Nephthalion or something?
Do you, hazards where? Like, from where to where?
Anywhere, I guess.
Well,
but
we looked at hazards up around that area, and there was the Hell City or whatever it was that
Which sounds like a cool place to go. Like, how often do you get to go to a place that is, like, literal, like, hell? Dave's going to describe it as that. I want to see it.
I didn't actually describe it as hell. Just saying.
Fact.
Troy, what are you doing while they're in the library?
I will go and try to secure a passage for us.
That sounds like a good use of time. Presumably, you will go to the docks where there are ships.
Yes.
You know what we didn't ask about? You have airships?
Not on this continent.
I don't want an airship. I mean,
we have the crafting guy.
We wait 5 years while you build one.
No, 1.25 years.
Expertise.
Tink, 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 tink.
The White Walkers have come down and, like, taken half the world over. Things are burning.
We have our airship. Like,
look, I've spent the last month trying to get this piece over the edge of the dirigible's top.
But it turns out the airship was the key to killing the White Walker commander.
We just fly over the top and just drop an explosive.
Toss fireballs down from above. Okay, so ships, docks.
Yes.
It is a quite busy area. There's a number of warships there. Nev Thalion keeps a bit of its own navy, which is particularly good at defending the Delta because they know all the little straits and mm-hmm. where all the sandbars are and all that sort of stuff. There's also a good number of merchant ships, some of them rather large, and it's middle of the day, so very busy, lots of people unloading cargo, yelling.
Is there like a, I don't know, is there a central bookkeeper that keeps... like routes or whatever, like
a harbor master.
Yeah, that's uh-huh. what I meant.
Absolutely.
Is he a gold dragon?
No, he's the one who rules the city. Wait, no, brass dragon.
Gold half. Yeah.
Anyway,
gold dragonborn was the harbor master.
In what?
Tomb.
Oh. Okay.
It's deep cut. It's callback. Anyway, please continue.
I mean, we. Yeah, never mind.
Yes, I should. We'll find the harbor master.
Okay. The. Once you know what you're looking for going along, the sign is fairly prominent, and it's also in, like, the busiest part of the whole district. And you walk in to see a line of about a half dozen people behind a desk, or, you know, in front of a desk, rather. Behind the desk is a female woman who has a couple of arm tattoos and doesn't look exactly like part of the bureaucracy, but she's the one behind the desk.
Yeah.
And is arguing with the ship captain that's in front of the desk about something you have no context for. Eventually, he grumbles and slams a little bag of coins down on the thing and, like, signs something and stalks out.
Now, a question actually I had earlier. Nephthelion, is this a known city that has disappeared or come to ruin? Or is it more of along the lines of, like, mythical... Troy-esque, maybe?
It is not mythical. It's like a lost city among academia, but it is not like the lost city of El Dorado that everyone's heard of.
Right, okay.
So you would probably want to ask for ships to Duskwater, which is the town that's closest.
Okay, that's...
Where is that at on the map?
That is just on the other side of the bay.
Oh, okay. Let's be cautious here. How much is that just on the other side of the bay? Because that looks like a hunt. Yeah, that's what I thought.
170 miles.
That's like...
However, you really just want to find someone who's going that direction and then talk to the captain.
Right. Well, yeah. But I'm just saying, like we're not jumping on a ship and getting from Cuba to, you know, Miami on this trip.
Now I'm curious about how far that is.
It's 90 miles,
I believe. It's 90 miles, oh, yeah.
Okay.
So are we meeting Jonna Coinleaf? At Nevthelian?
Your best guess from the letter is that she's moved on. So that letter took a while to get there.
Right. So where are we meeting her there, or are we...
You're just going to Nevthelian.
Oh, we're going to Nevthelian. Okay.
She gave instructions in the letter regarding where it is.
Cool.
Which is why it's on the map.
We're just the advance guard.
But our writ that we have says... That essentially charge the university for
to get them there,
whatever expense is necessary to
yeah.
essentially go the extra distance, I guess.
Right,
and if somebody's and we are not the advanced guard, we are the canaries.
You know, six of one, dead bird in a cage in the other. I mean, you know, like, it's whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, so eventually you wait and get up to the front of the line, where she looks at you and says, "Here, you didn't look like a sailor."
Good morning, ma'am. No, I'm not much of a sailor, Alec, Darkwood, at your service. I'm trying to book passage up north to Duskwater, essentially. Are there any ships heading that direction?
Oh, I see. You just need a ship. One moment. And she, like, thumps this giant tome over, moves it aside, and then picks out a slimmer book. Begins flipping through listings of ships that have come to port. And you can see the, like, dates listed at the top of each page. And it looks like probably something like 40 ships a day, something like that. She gets to the end of the book where today's date is. She's like, "All right, who's in harbor? Okay. Duskwater. Well, you know, he was only planning to go to Duavrad, last I heard, but you..."
Yeah, I didn't expect that, Cody. Come on.
I know, but it's like, that's like, "Oh, you're in New York. You want to get to California. I got a guy going to Iowa." How's that for you?
No, wait. Here's someone better. Okay. Talk to the... you're going to laugh. Talk to the captain of the Rusty Bucket. This ship's better than it sounds.
Rusty Bucket. Pardon my skepticism, but is that's the best option you have?
Like I said, the name's worse than it sounds. Or whatever.
Where does the
name sounds worse than it is.
Where does the ship plan to make port?
Plan to make port. Right now, he's sailing to the mouth of the river that I haven't named. That is where Golodelf runs through. So
okay,
toward to Larendor, basically.
So
yeah, he's going to Northern Larendor, which is only
now we've got to Pennsylvania.
Yeah. You're getting closer. You're not left in the... You're still in the backwoods, but you're at least 3/4 of the way there.
So as long as you don't lowball him on price, he'd probably go there extra.
Okay.
He can pick up wine in Duskwater.
Do you have a second option, perhaps? Just in case negotiations with him doesn't work out?
She flips a couple pages back and is like, "If you don't mind waiting like a week and a half, I've got someone coming back from the Greensong Isles, but it'll be a bit..."
Yeah, I don't think we have that much time. So, this is the only option?
Right now. Somebody might come into port tomorrow, but I don't know about that.
Okay. Sounds good.
If you want to check back tomorrow, feel free.
Okay. Then I will make my way out to find the Rusty Bucket.
Yeah, I can't imagine that's hard to do walking up and down the port. Oi! Anyone seen a Rusty Bucket?
I got one right here.
So you find it in berth 17. It is a weather-worn but still sturdy-looking caravel. And what's your background?
I'm as far as what?
Your official background.
Yeah,
it should be.
Oh, like...
Yes. Character background.
I am an acolyte.
Okay.
It's a boat.
Yeah, it's a boat.
Has some sails and some ropes. Maybe a pulley or two.
It's got some big sails. It looks like it would get you there.
How large of a boat?
About 100 feet long.
Okay. I will try to ask for the captain.
Okay. The captain has to be found by a deckhand.
Right.
After a couple minutes, a male half-elf who comes out, who is quite old, but has a nice, close-trimmed beard that looks like he keeps it very nice. He sort of looks at you with a stern expression, raises an eyebrow, and is like, "What?"
Good morning, sir. Alec Darkwood, at your service.
Mm-hmm.
Looking for a passage up north to Duskwater. I know that you're headed that direction, not quite as far, but good news is university's paying for it, so you know, price isn't really an issue. So you know, however,
you can see that he's like trying not to smile.
If you wouldn't mind taking on some extra passengers, we'd appreciate it of the ride.
Who taught you to negotiate? They did a damn fine job.
Hey, I got a blank check.
Heck yeah. I'll show him the writ. I'll be like, hey, that's from university. They want us to get up north and set it, you know, they'd pay the expense. So, you know, that'd be, I suppose, up to you, you and the Iron Master to figure that out.
Olgan, bring me the chart. And a halfling who is the deckhand that you talked to earlier, like, scurries into the cabin and comes back a minute later with a navigational chart of the whole eastern half of the continent. Let's see here.
This is the part where you get fleeced.
Yeah, I just got to find out exactly how much. And although it doesn't really matter to you. There we go. It'll be about 500 gold per person.
Per person. Okay.
Well, I'd be willing to knock it down a little bit if you didn't need a cabin.
Well, I feel like it's a pretty long trip. I think cabins would be preferable.
I mean, I've only got one spare.
Screen went away. Do your job, Jeff.
Move the mouse every 5 to 8 minutes.
Actually, I wonder if I can change that.
Not that hard.
Yep, I'm an ass.
Okay, no. Go ahead.
I mean, do I need to negotiate? Like, again, we're not paying for it, right? We were told the university's paying for it.
I don't know. We said someone who has no affiliation with the university to negotiate. So you do you, and you shine like a bright star, Troy.
Well, the price does seem a bit high. I don't know that the university would foot that kind of bill. Would it be possible to come down on the price at all? Can I roll the persuade?
Sure. Go ahead. With disadvantage, because you have no idea what you're talking about.
well, yeah. One of those is a good number. One of those, less so.
Rolled a 9.
Well, can I ask why exactly you need to go to Duskwater? You don't look like a merchant.
Nope, the university has sent me and my compatriots on a quest to...
some sort of academic frou-frou-y.
Yes.
All right. Well, don't reckon I'd much understand anything you had to say anyway. All right. I suppose there's good wine in Duskwater. Not much else. That's a good enough price, I suppose. I'll go with 480. If you want the cabin. If you don't want the cabin, I'll go down to 425.
Excellent.
Well, which one?
We'll take the cabin.
All right, then. I'll ask for about half up front, and then the rest when we get there.
Well, when do you plan to leave?
Well, I was planning to leave in 2 days' time. If you're in some sort of rush, I could cram.
No, I think that should work. I'll go back to the university and get the money for our trip.
All right. Well, then, how many passengers are we talking?
Just be myself and 3 others.
All right. Then, Mr.
Darkwood.
Darkwood, that's right. Yep. Okay. I'll see you in 2 days' time. My name is Ruprecht.
Nice to meet you, Ruprecht. We'll see you in a couple days.
All right. So you head back into town. Craig, after enchanting a couple items, what have you been up to?
Probably just shopping for my other items. And have we got a designated meetup time spot? Otherwise, I'm going to... come seek some folks out.
No, I'm sure we probably meet up at dinner time or whatever.
Yeah, probably back at the inn where you...
Sure.
Where, okay.
Where Rook buys all those drinks.
But... meanwhile, back at the
People
library...
get away with that once.
You come across a third volume that has a somewhat of a mention of Nephilim in it.
Didn't I?
This one's about the thrilling subject of architecture.
Is there cat anatomy involved as well?
It's not a game if we don't involve cat anatomy. Get on this.
I think you mean canatomy?
We've discussed that as well. Yeah.
Aesthetics and architecture, a study of elvish design and construction techniques. Excerpt. Contrary to popular conception, this airy aesthetic so popular in...
Moutier, Valacour, Kenadryl, and even Duivrod.
Okay. is only viable because of the region's warmer climates. In such regions, function may follow form with little true consequence. Such regions are, of course, also economic powerhouses, and as corridors of trade and wealth and travel, they have gained a reputation for their architecture and helped form the stereotype of elvish architecture. While elvish architecture does in nearly all instances show at least a tendency of, or appreciation of natural forms, it cannot in all instances conform to southern styles. A prime example is the underground city of Nephthelion, situated to the north of Duskwater in Delrind. Underground abodes are classically associated with dwarves and gnomes, of course, but two circumstances have led the elves of Nephthelion out of the sunlight. Defense against the wandering bands of gnollish raiders and climate. The defensive purpose of the city's structure has overall had minimal impact on its form. Curves are still preferred to right corners, particularly in interiors. Arches still tend toward recurved sides that lead to pointed keystones, usually lancet, OG, or equilateral pointed arches.
Yes, I looked up types of arches.
I can tell.
Reverse ogee arches are also occasionally seen. Decorative carving is still very present throughout the complex. Nephthelion's entrance is even covered with imported marble, transported hundreds of miles from Merrick Zigil.
Yeah, that's a dwarvish country to the west.
Quarries purely for the sake of decoration. Other, usually public areas also make use of materials other than the hard gray stone of the region. Temples make use of inlaid or mosaic floors. Portions of the city's college and mages guild use both wood and foreign stone for flooring. Most remarkable of all is the elm chamber, where the city's ruling council meets. The room is paneled entirely in elm wood, twisted and carved into natural forms that give the viewer the impression of standing within a tree. All these examples both make and break the stereotypes of elvish architecture. They conform to natural forms in many cases, but are inherently not airy. Integration with nature is integration with stone, rather than forest, except where the elm chamber brings the forest down to itself. A less extreme example of nonconformity in Norden males?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The capital of Larendor. While not under regular threat of gnoll attacks, it does have a more northerly climate, particularly winters, to contend with. The city's architecture deals with this problem without resorting to delving underground.
Etc. But that's the relevant section.
Hmm. So Nephthelion is an underground city.
Yes.
It's cold, and there's a bunch of gnolls.
And, although you spend some more time in the library, you are not able to turn up any other references that have any real significance or that tell you anything further.
Okay.
They have a shit ton of money.
Huh?
They have a shit ton of money.
Who?
Nephthelion.
Yeah.
I mean, if you scroll on his map, I mean, this is again just being me. I don't know how detailed Dave actually made this, but if you notice that the timber line, like, stops... Like, not quite. I don't want to say shh. Is there not a grabby hand? Pan view? There's the grabby hand. So, like, this may just be Dave being Dave. But if you notice, most of those trees at Nephthelion and everything, he's changed the drawing of his trees, just like he's changed the color of his map.
Yes.
They're talking about elm? Those aren't elm trees.
No.
At all. So, like, they're shipping stone hundreds of miles from the west. They're shipping wood up probably another 500 to 1,000 miles, maybe that forest, but even then, maybe not that forest, because he said it's cold climate. Maybe one of those forests.
Yep.
So you're talking about an underground city that had immense power, that had an amazing economic ties to get all these sorts of supplies. Must have had a shit ton of money to get all of that transported and moved.
Now you see why they were trying to be taxed so hard.
But if they have that much control of power, then Larendor would almost be stupid to try and tax them. You don't go around trying to tax, you know, the biggest cock of the walk. That seems very dumb.
What if you're at war and desperate?
Maybe. I mean, you would think that that would be the last person you want to tax, but perhaps. I mean, maybe that's why Duravrod, maybe it's less some sort of connection, and maybe it's more like they were going to destabilize the economy.
What can I find out about this war?
I guess roll a separate investigation check.
I didn't do very good.
It's the tail end of the day. You're tired.
24.
But apparently, you're not.
Books, man, they're my thing. Especially the picture books with...
I thought you were a loose cannon cop.
I am very loose cannon. But you know what you find in these old dusty books? Old dusty spells that people have forgotten.
What?
Just you wait. There's a reason why I want a night caller.
I played a loose cannon cop when I played X-Crawl. That was a lot of fun.
But go ahead.
No. I was waiting to hear what we know about that war.
Okay. Eventually, Kellen digs up some info. These references don't reference Nephthalian directly. But they do talk about, in vague terms, because this was, more than 1,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So the gist of it is that Goliath clans were invading the Orokonva, the forest that's on the northern part of Larendor. And not, like, there's not any large cities up in there, but they were just generally, like, terrorizing small settlements, farms, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But they started doing so with a, like, relentless frequency. And so there was a little bit of a guerrilla war almost happening.
Gotcha.
In the forest for a fairly drawn out length of time. Eventually, Larendor started running shy of troops, which meant that they resorted to hiring mercenaries. And those mercenaries were not cheap. So they ended up needing more money, which required more taxation of something.
Right.
Of any ways to get money, really. There's also mention of multiple loans being taken, including loans out of Valakur banks and out of Duavrod banks.
Gotcha. That's interesting. Is Larendor, I guess this is also 1,000 years ago, was Larendor a political powerhouse? It seems like it occupies a decent bit of land.
The maps you can find from that era mark it as a smaller thing. Okay. Not tiny by any means, but more like this road here that leads into that would have been more like their southern border.
Gotcha.
As opposed to the coast, which is 150 miles south.
Gotcha. So at one point they were about half the size that they are now.
Yeah,
and that's something like one that. Of the reasons, because I mean the invasion then would have taken place on like a large northern front.
Yeah, basically the edge of their border.
Although I wonder what drove the Goliaths to do that.
Yeah. Did we didn't find anything out about whether or not Larendor actually did tax Nephthalion or what their reaction to the tax was, did we?
Correct.
Okay.
It's just that one letter that survives.
Okay.
Okay. Cool. Although that makes me really, it's really, really interesting that Nephthalion basically just fell off the map then to the point where it was almost lost, its location was lost.
Well, and there's not even any record of what happened to it.
Because they had a lot of power, they had a lot of magic, they had a lot of influence, money. They had a lot of connections, and they just fell off the face of the planet.
Yeah.
Hinterk, I think. It's less fun that no one is scared when I say that anymore.
I actually didn't even hear what you said.
Hinterk, I think.
Okay, now I just don't know what that means.
Because you don't have Matt at the table, then who's going to Google what that means and then find out what it means. Gets freaked out.
Yeah. It's a set of murders where supposedly the killer, 1908 or some shit like that in Germany. Killer hid in the attic, theoretically lived there for some time, like interacted with the family, then came down and murdered him.
That was a long time ago.
Yes. No. But Matt would hear a thump and he would be like, and freak out. And so I would just go Hinterkaifeng. Like, when else are the people who live in my attic and plot to kill me going to go to the bathroom, Matt? When I'm not up there. Jesus.
All right.
Yeah. It's Hinterkaifeng. Well, taking a shower.
At the end of the day, then, you meet back up at tavern to discuss whatever it is you want to discuss.
So, was Troy able to secure funds? Or did they look at him and say, you're an idiot, go back and renegotiate?
No, yeah, I have to go to the university to, I guess, tell
them. That's a good point, because you would have done that still that same day.
Yeah.
So you end up going to, I guess, the treasurer's office.
Yep.
Where you tell them the things. Roll a charisma check.
Guess guidance.
You could do that if you wanted to.
It might make a difference. Oh, it did not make much of a difference.
15?
You get a bit of a snide comment of how that is a very expensive boat, but the funds do get disbursed.
Excellent.
Do we need to keep track of those then, I'm assuming? So you want to add that to somebody who would be responsible for those funds, Gnosis?
I mean, do we really need to? We have funds.
It would be 1920 gold.
Jesus Christ, this man is fleecing the shit out of us.
What's my sleight of hand? I mean, sure, steal the gold and then we won't go. I mean, that's fine.
No, I just have to steal less than half of it. So we can get there. And I've got to cloak the manta ray.
He's like, well, pay me. And Jeff's like, see ya. You were wanting to say something at the tavern?
You've gotten the... Troy's got the funds. Have you gone back to the ship with those funds, or...
No.
Okay. So we got a bag of almost 2,000 gold sitting with us right now in your possession?
Yes.
I'm just being clear about that as you sit down at the table. It was shorter to travel by land, right?
You know, I like you, because I bet 4 horses are cheaper than 1920 gold.
We already own a wagon.
I suppose that's true.
The wagon you brought back from the... Yeah, got it. No horses, just a wagon.
Right, but I'm sure we can get 4 horses for less than 1900 gold.
We might even bluff 4 horses out of the Iron Rose University stables.
Again, that sleight of hand, Jeff. Can you sleight of hand 4 horses?
No, but I got plenty of deception. I got expertise in that.
1900 gold is a nice payday, just saying.
So what have you guys been up to today?
We relay the information.
Okay.
Fast track that conversation.
Well, I mean, it's if you'd like to discuss it, we can.
We've spent the time reading it.
There was a letter. There was these experts from books.
I mean, it all points to kind of the same thing, doesn't it? You know, fancy elven city disappears, supposedly no cause. Lots of power, lots of gold, lots of magic. Shouldn't have happened, but did.
Okay, if we're going into this city... Is there anybody who can't see in the dark?
I cannot.
I cannot innately, but I can create, for as a free action, an orb that can see for 5 to 10 feet. And my dog has dark vision.
Okay, we may want to figure out a way for you guys to be able to see in the dark if we're going underground.
Been thinking about
that. I mean, magic.
Hey, so long as you have a way, I'm good with that. I don't have a problem.
Troy lights a torch.
There are various cantrips that can accomplish this. Does anybody have them?
I don't.
I mean, I do.
You do?
Yeah. I can cast light.
Okay.
Light is a good one for making light.
I suppose I could have taken light instead of magic stone.
Yeah, well, a little late.
But it's 6 plus 1d6 damage.
Let's see.
The old Fadre trap.
I mean,
it does damage. It's got to be the best.
Are there any magical items that...
Luck gives you essentially 40 feet of light.
Yeah.
20 and 20, so...
You get a drift globe?
There's a number of ways to acquire...
I don't know if an ever-burning torch is still a thing. I don't think it is.
It is.
Is it?
I don't remember seeing
it. Well, there's continual flame. I don't know about ever-burning torch.
There was Candle of the Deep? That is an expensive
that's a thing
way.
Too. Although that really is just a candle that doesn't go out in water. You might as well just get a regular candle as long as you don't plan on going in water.
Well, but if it's magical, does it actually get consumed? Because I don't think it listed it.
Oh, well, that's true. It would be one never-ending candle.
Right. It's a never-ending candle that also can't be put out by getting wet.
Right.
So, I mean, it was like 50.
However, candles produce crappy light. It's really limited range.
Dancing lights is also a cantrip.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. It is, however, a bit of a nightmare to deal with because you have four orbs that you have to move around manually where you want them. In a fight, they're particularly unwieldy. I say this because the last group that went there used dancing lights.
I mean, we got torches. We got ways
I mean,
to deal with it.
A torch.
A drift globe would be cool, though. I mean, if you're looking for something, if you like, if I didn't have dark vision, if you didn't see the drift globes, they were kind of neat.
They're kind of neat.
I haven't looked up goggles of night or anything.
Those are another option, but they only work for one person.
Yep.
What is a drift globe?
It's kind of like a...
It's a globe that drifts.
It's kind of like a... You know those lanterns that people like light off and float into the air?
Mm-hmm.
They're like that, except it follows you. So it's like a balloon that just kind of floats in the air and lights the general area. I forget what book they're in, but they're cool.
DMG. DMG.
As I remember, they're kind of inexpensive.
They are 100 gold for a drift globe, whereas torches are a copper apiece.
True, but the thing that a drift globe copper. Does is it gives your hands are free.
Yes.
That's the thing. It just floats nearby.
And goggles a night are 300.
Fun fact, it actually emanates the light spell.
Yeah.
It's just permanent. And it can do daylight once a day.
So at some point you can go wah, and you can burn vampires.
But you said, no, daylight does not burn vampires.
It does in real thing.
Are you saying
it's kind of part of the lore.
Are you saying Dungeons & Dragons isn't real?
What?
But you,
what are we doing?
It doesn't matter.
Our title track, They Left Me In Here, was composed by Daniel Rann as part of the Beyond Skyrim Bruma original soundtrack and is being utilized under Creative Commons 4 Attribution Sharealike license. Enjoy what you heard? Check us out online at rancorsbrothel.com and the Rancor's Brothel Facebook page. Be sure to like, subscribe, and share this show with your friends. Want to chat? Follow us on Twitter at rancors_brothel or by emailing therancorsbrothel@gmail.com. To interact with other fans, check out the Fans of the Rancor's Brothel Facebook page. Most of all, keep circulating the tapes. Much love, everybody.